This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Maryam Lemu, and with me is my husband.
Saeed Suleiman Takuma, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. During the last episode, we talked about so many different topics. And I know one that stood out and probably struck a nerve with some people is when Saeed was talking about doing some of the chores in the house, doing the cooking. In spite of the fact that I could cook very well, he would still assist with about 70% of the cooking. This was in our early marriage, I think the first 12 years that this happened. Of course, since then, we've moved to Nigeria, and alhamdulillah, economically, we could afford to hire someone to do, because I know the last time Saeed talked about this, there was so much commotion. Like, how can a man be doing this for a wife? Like, first, maybe he's mijing hajia, he's tied to his wife's petticoat, and we heard all sorts of things. And of course, for a lot of women, they were so happy to hear someone actually say, this person is fulfilling the obligations, because if you can't do certain things, then you are meant to do it. Sorry, if you can't afford to hire someone to do certain things, you are meant to do it yourself. And I find it so interesting and sadly quite hypocritical how we talk about the sunnah and the rights of this and that when it comes to, of course, polygamy. We are quick to say it's sunnah. When it comes to so many things, we almost wear the religion like a uniform that we can put on and take off as we please. But the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, where he devoted himself to his family, where there were hadiths of how he would pray to Allah and then he would look after his family. He would mend his own shoes. He would sew his own clothes.
He'd do some chores.
He'd do some chores. And then, of course, the romantic part of the Prophet ﷺ examples, where he would race with Aisha radiallahu anha. He would bathe with his wife. He would put his wife on his shoulder so she can see entertainment in the marketplace and things like that. Like, how come those things are not highlighted? People aren't talking about it loud, so that is the exemplary example for all of us to emulate, because that is what the hadiths are for us to replicate that. So I just wanted to mention that we should be very careful not to cross the line by not honoring that example and living, because Allah will ask us, since we have already been given someone to show us what we are supposed to do. Now, we've had a lot of questions from people who send in what they want me to talk about or what they want my husband to talk about related to marriage. And I think one of the ones that has stood out is this issue to do with marriages that don't last, marriages that maybe run for even 2 weeks, 1 month, and then next thing you hear of talaq. And so I think it's important we address that question.
I do. I've given a little background of when I was courting Maryam and what both families had to do. And in today's marriages, enough time isn't given in investigating the bride-to-be and the groom-to-be. Inquire, inquire, inquire. It is among the requirements when you are seeking a partner that sufficient investigations are done to know about the attitude, the culture, the mannerisms and characteristics of each person. It is, as that is going on, and hopefully a positive result is given to us, that we also embark upon istihara. Yeah. Now, what we've found out, in a lot of these marriages these days, sufficient time is not allocated to investigating individuals. And families do not sincerely embark upon istihara, seeking Allah's guidance, Allah to show them if this union will be beneficial to each of the two people interested in one another, and ultimately to be beneficial to the ummah. So when we ignore those guidelines, without doubt, we are walking into disaster. It's not about the looks. It's not about the name, the wealth. I remember when we got married, the next day, my father-in-law called Maryam and I. And the first thing he said, which he said in Hausa, I will translate it into English. If the two of you were in love with each other because of your looks, Sheikh Ahmed Lemu said, that will fade in time. So it better be based on something far deeper than just your looks. That was very, very serious advice coming from my father-in-law the day after the nikah.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think a lot of people who are going into marriages are doing it hastily.
Not doing their homework.
And you need to take your time. I told you the courtship was 4 years. Our courtship was 4 years. It was after that courtship that I was still investigated.
In spite of the investigation, we need to be careful about our fantasies. We need to be careful about the things we read, the things we watch, because sometimes those are the things that make us so excited to get married, and we rush into it with the expectations that things would be beautiful and rosy, and at the end of the day, you haven't done the homework. And you need to be the right person before you look for Mr. Right or Miss Right.
Absolutely.
You need to make sure you are in order. If you are in need of something, you are in need of someone to complete you, because that is such a common terminology. You hear people say, my spouse completes me. It means you were incomplete to start with.
That's not the right phrase to use.
It's such a wrong phrase. I think compliment is a better word, where you have... you are a work in progress. I think both of us see ourselves as a work in progress.
We
and we're working on ourselves, but then we're partnering with each other to make sure we fix our flaws so we please one another.
Yes.
So realistic expectations about marriage and more patience. Now, I'm not saying patience in the sense of suffer in silence.
Of suffering abuse in silence.
Taking abuse.
Any kind of abuse.
Exactly.
Great emotional, financial, or physical abuse.
Exactly. We're not talking about that kind of patience, but patience that you are putting in effort, patient to see the results of your hard work. And then working on creating a code of conduct, of course. You need to agree on this better before you get married. Agree on certain things you will do. A culture for your marriage that hopefully by the time you get married, you can only build on that.
I remember one simple rule someone said, when you look at a woman that you want to marry, you imagine would you like your children to be like that woman.
Yeah.
And the same thing applies to the women. When they look at a man and they see his characteristics and they see his attitude, his habits, they ought to ask themselves, would I like to have children that would be like this man? But these are some of the advices we want to give you when it comes to spousal selection to reduce the amount of divorces. A lot of homework has to go up front so that the back end survives.
And also, I remembered another thing is don't give in to pressure.
Yes.
Don't allow people to pressurize you to get married, that your biological clock is ticking, or how come your sisters, your friends have all gotten married, you're the last woman standing or last man standing. So many get married for the wrong reasons, and unfortunately, that's part of why a lot of these marriages don't work. So make sure you are ready and you are complete, and then go and look for someone who will compliment you, inshallah.
I know the issue of
sex. Exactly. That's another one that comes up a lot where you find sexual frustration. You find spouses that are not satisfied. Intimacy is such a sensitive topic. However, it is so important. It has to feature. You have to be able to satisfy your spouse's fantasies and their physical needs to be able to make sure you resist the risk of temptation.
Part of the obligation of marriage to a man is to satisfy the wife's needs, to be kind to the wife, and to make sure in so doing, he and the wife are both chaste. You do not want to starve your partner sexually, whether it's the wife or the husband, because that leads to trouble. So in that regard, sometimes we get into marriages extremely shy, both male and female. You have to just take off that toga and have an honest conversation with each other. If you can't do it face to face, you can write it, but you need to communicate. Communication is very important so that that aspect is addressed. And I'm going to go a little bit adult here. even during the act, a man needs to ask the wife if she is enjoying what's happening. You need to communicate. You are partners in a relationship in which each one's needs are supposed to be met by the other. So it's not a one-way street where it's always the man that gets to get satisfaction. The man needs to also take off that ego, the pride, and ask his wife, are you enjoying this? Are you enjoying that? Or what would you like instead of this or that? So please, make the effort, communicate, discuss, so that you are both satisfied in that department.
Yeah, and I think another thing that is important is part of this issue to do with intimacy is there needs to be variety. Boredom is a recipe for disaster, and there's a metaphor that my brother uses: water that sits still starts to smell. If you allow a routine, like it's always this time, it's always this position and that position, there's no variety, there's no excitement, there's no anticipation, there's nothing new, nothing fresh. Unfortunately, it's a recipe for boredom, and boredom is a recipe for disaster. So make sure you be adventurous. This thing Said said about being shy, when it comes to your spouse, there is nothing like that. There are no boundaries as long as you don't go into those areas we've been told not to go into, such as anal sex
is forbidden.
It's haram, and when a woman is Islamically, on her period,
and when she is during her menstrual cycle,
exactly,
you're not supposed to engage in any intimacy.
That is any physical intercourse, but your spouse can still satisfy you. Your spouse can still be very intimate with you and make sure that you are still getting that fulfillment that you look for. So this issue to do with intimacy, as we wrap this episode up, is an important one. There are about several other topics that, inshallah, we will be covering. However, it is important, I think, most especially this thing to do with intimacy. Some of us women are shy. We don't want to express how we feel. We don't want to say whether we are satisfied or not, but we end up being frustrated. Develop a culture with your spouse. Develop the atmosphere that makes it okay and conducive. It's relaxed, that you can actually talk about it without feeling embarrassed, without feeling shy about it, because it's important. It's both of you being satisfied. You're both taking something, getting something out of the relationship. I know we had this person who reached out to us that her spouse is not able to get an erection. And of course, this is something some people aren't aware of, that you can actually get you can see a doctor who will be able to prescribe. So seek professional, talk to the advice, speak to a doctor. I think another thing I know the lady specifically mentioned is that her spouse does not want to see a doctor. You can see the doctor on his behalf if it's possible, but you do have to try and convince your spouse so that they are ready to try various ways of making sure you also get satisfaction when it comes to the intimacy department. So join us during the next episode. We have a few more things to share with you from the comments and the topics you want us to talk about. We look forward to having you. Assalamu alaikum from me.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.